First of all, congratulations on being hired by Western.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Western's Board of Trustees chairperson, Polly Radosh, said you had seriously done your homework on Western before your interview. What did you learn from doing that homework?
I learned a lot. I mean, the homework, and mountains of homework, right? Many things, but I can name a few. Western is a very good school, has a good reputation in the Midwest and beyond. Outstanding faculty and staff, a wide range of programs, two campuses that do good things, and it has great potential for even greater reputation and stature on a national and international level. I also learned, of course, there are challenges, like many other public universities in the Midwest, or the West, or the East Coast, where I am. Public universities are all challenged by their financial situation, by COVID-19, enrollment challenges. But those challenges, they can be overcome. They can be dealt with effectively with the resources, the right leadership, and the right leadership as well. I mean, I can say a whole lot. I do know the university a lot better. Then I started to look at it, months back.
Yeah, what did you find attractive about Western and the job here?
Yeah, I named some of them already, but I can say, let me talk a little bit about the vision of Western. Western wants to be the leader in educational quality, opportunity, and affordability among regional public universities. I think that vision is really good. In what way? The emphasis upon quality. I've talked with a lot of people from Western, including some trustees who graduated from Western. They really believe they received a top-notch education from Western. So that's educational quality. And opportunity includes access to higher education, right, the university's mission is to give people in Illinois and beyond the opportunity to study there in their wide range of programs, as I alluded to earlier. Also, affordability. Not everybody goes to a pricey private college, but the education quality that Western offers, I think it's really high quality, and it's a lot more affordable than some other colleges in Illinois or other states. So that I think, vision is very attractive. The mission of Western emphasizes excellence, interdisciplinary and global perspectives, and those are the things I have been preaching and practicing, very consistent with my own teaching practice and leadership philosophy. So all of these things together, they represent a great opportunity for leadership. I'm really thrilled about this opportunity. And I also took a look, a very close look of Western's strategic plan. It's a 10-year plan, but I think that plan has the right goals, all right? Its goals include academic excellence, educational opportunity again, personal growth, and social responsibility. The last two, as you can see, personal growth and social responsibility, they are mutually supportive, and that to me is a very valuable component of the strategic plan. And these things are truly attractive. Finally, I do think the university, after fully implementing this plan, will be a more robust university in a few years.
What is your vision for how large Western should be in terms of enrollment?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Rich, because I know historically Western once reached 13 or 14,000 students at its height, right? 13 or 14,000. That's one number to remember. The strategic plan I mentioned includes a new number, which is 10,000 enrollment in 10 years. So 10 years means starting in 2017 all the way to 2027. It's a 10-year plan. Right now, I know the enrollment hovers between hovers around close to 8,000. So I think if we are aggressive with the recruitment and the enrollment and the retention, that new number set in the strategic plan, the 10,000 can be achieved. Now, of course, achieving the enrollment goal depends upon many factors, right? You know, resources, human resources, financial resources, program availability, and also, even more importantly, the demographic shift we have seen throughout many parts of the country. Fewer students are graduating from a high school, therefore fewer college goers currently and in the near future, which means we need to more aggressively recruit students, not only in Illinois, but also in the neighboring states and even internationally. I understand right now things are challenging because of COVID-19 and difficult to travel, but a long-term goal should be international recruitment and also looking at online programs. How can we boost enrollment through online programs?
Well, with a smaller high school graduating classes, what do you do to convince those students that Western is a place they should come to?
Yeah, great question. Western does have, a very good breadth of programs. Many of them are traditional liberal arts programs. Now we have, the university has a number of professional programs. So both on the main campus in Macomb and at the Quad Cities campus. I think those programs can be strengthened on the one hand. On the other hand, the university has a tremendous opportunity to increase its distinctiveness in programs. And this distinction in the quality of existing programs. So that's one thing I want to look at in terms of growing enrollment. Another thing I think is really how we brand the university. The university so far does a good job of branding the marketing of the university, marketing the programs, and even its faculty, its campus. Now we can be even more aggressive using social media, traditional media, TV and radio, all of those together to market the programs, our programs, while promoting the distinctiveness and distinction of a certain program we have. I like the idea that the university is a comprehensive college with, liberal arts programs as well as professional programs like engineering, business, education, and I can name others, but those programs can be strengthened to attract more students. Another very important issue I would like to look at is the retention, student retention. Retention is a very, very important issue on many campuses of public universities. Western is doing a fine job retaining students, but we can even do better by focusing upon the barriers, focusing upon removing the barriers to student retention, bringing them in and keeping them here for 4 years until they graduate, right? When you increase the retention rate from year to year, that means more students are graduating in 4 years or 5 or 6 years. So that means you need to recruit fewer students, therefore, expanding less resources, but still have a larger rate of student success. Those are some of the things I really want to look at with the senior leadership team there, with the trustees. I think the trustees are really understanding for the challenges the university faces right now. Of course, the students themselves have a responsibility to themselves. to come to Western, stay here, work hard, and graduate in 4 years. So a lot of the things that we can do to grow enrollment.
One of the challenges facing the campus is systemic racism on campus and in the community. How do you go about addressing that?
That's a very important topic. And if anyone's listening there, students, faculty, staff, in my many years of professional life, I have taken a very clear, strong stance on issues like racism. It's a zero tolerance policy I hold dear. Racism is real. You see that here and there. I was a victim of racism when I was a new student in another state. I had a carload of people driving by me in the street and throwing an egg at me, landed on my shoulder, shouting things, right? I've experienced racism firsthand. It should not be tolerated. All students, African-Americans, Latinos, minority groups, all of them, they should be protected. The university should have a safe environment for these students to thrive in. Now, I want to work with the leadership on campus, student groups, especially the Black Student Association and other minority groups, to look at all issues related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Training is necessary, including bias training. Having guest speakers is good. Identifying those issues and solving them is even more important. I will take action. I know this is a very, very important issue because racism is a cancer to American society. I want the students and the staff and the faculty, whatever minority group they belong in, they should be treated with respect, with decency, and with dignity. I will be a good example of those things. And I don't like lip service. I say things that I want to deliver. This issue will be a major priority on my list when I land on campus in a couple of months.
Do you feel you've been subjected to racism, maybe even in more subtle forms, in the time since the encounter you mentioned earlier?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm Asian. There are different, there are all kinds of stereotypes of different groups, including Asians, right? I think the day I was hit with a neck, probably because I was wearing a T-shirt with my former university name on it, written in Chinese. So I was a easily recognizable target, right? If they didn't shout things, I would think it was a mistake. Actually, a few days later, following my own incident, a friend of mine, he was hit not with an egg, but with a rock, and he was hurt. He was injured. You name the thing the right way. Overt racism is easier to deal with because it's overt. But subtle racism is harder to discern. And that's where the battle should be fought. I know people should not look at individuals from other racial or ethnic groups and judge them because of the color of their skin, the texture of their hair, or the way they dress, the way they speak their language, the way they practice their religion. Tolerance is a low bar. We should tolerate. But I expect respect, acceptance by people who are not members of my own ethnic group. I'm generalizing that point because every group needs to be respectful of other races, ethnicities, and people who look different, speak different, or sometimes even smell different. So, again, it's a real issue. As the new president, I wanted to work with every group, students, faculty, staff, the community in Macomb or the surrounding areas, and not only make the priority, but do things to show that it is a priority. I've encountered the subtle racism. You know, I can't tell you how many times rich because I don't keep a count of it. Sometimes you sense things, but then again, you know, senses are not always scientific. You don't want to overgeneralize. But then feelings are feelings. You cannot ignore feelings or emotions. And I often like to tell people, emotions are the foundation of reason. No, so it's an important topic. I would be happy to discuss this with the students and staff or faculty or the community once I'm on campus.
How do you go about strengthening the bond between the university and the community?
Yeah, no, great question again. A couple of days ago, I received a nice phone call from Mayor Yiman, who's a very generous, warm in welcoming you, congratulating me on the presidency, and welcoming you to Macomb. I can tell you a little bit about what I did in the past. I have been the chancellor and president for a number of years, and worked with numerous mayors and many legislators at the state level, even at the federal level, and then also community organizations. Whether in Louisiana or Pennsylvania, I've been with groups like, the Chamber of Commerce, the Rotary Club, and many other organizations in the community, including military organizations, right? Where I am, I talk frequently with the city manager. We're just talking yesterday, actually. And working with the mayor of Erie City on receiving delegations from China, for example. So I'm a pretty good outreacher. I'm approachable. I talk to people. COVID-19 made it a little difficult to meet in person, but even with the legislators, I would talk with them via phone. In the last few months, just keep them informed about what I do on campus, especially major important initiatives that are happening on my campus. And I attend some community events as well, including schools, high schools, elementary schools. Whenever I can, I would go and attend a performance, a show. Then there are also community members and members attending camp events on my campus, especially before COVID-19. The work I was doing, building connectors between my university and the city in Louisiana, was noticed. I was awarded the Hometown Hero Award because of my efforts working with the community. I know Macomb is a small city. I do not know the city well. My wife and I and my daughter did a drive through it briefly at night. It looks like a very neat town. We look forward to moving and there and living there, knowing a lot of community members, and working with the mayor, the city council, local legislators, and governor's office, whatnot. I'm ready. I'm really excited about this opportunity to work with many stakeholders surround Western Illinois University.
How do you balance, the needs of the two campuses and the two communities, Macomb and the Quad Cities?
I think a two campuses actually is an advantage. Funny enough, because I currently have a branch campus. When I was a new teacher, a young college teacher back in China, my university was building a branch campus. I was really eager. I went there several times wanting to work there as well. And I ended up going to grad school in another city. A university with two campuses has always been a very interesting, intriguing idea for me. I support each other, supplement each other, and also enlarges the presence of the university brand by being in two different cities. Now, how do I balance my time? I would like to be as regular as I can, spending time on both campuses. I know there is an office for the president in the Quad Cities campus, sitting on the beautiful, magnificent Mississippi River. So spend a good amount of time there regularly to make sure things are taken care of, programs are running smoothly, employees are treated fairly properly. It's only 78 miles, right? It's not too long a drive. So I also wanted to stay in touch with the leadership in charge of that campus there when I'm not physically present on that campus. We'll talk to them, have regular meetings with both the leadership and when necessary and needed, faculty and staff be available via Zoom, via phone, and of course, best available physically in person, right? The two campuses have different focuses, but it's one university, one mission. We are all training, educating students, serving the Macomb and Moline communities. So I'd be happy to be the connector, the bridge, the leader between the two campuses, making sure that the mission remains integral to both places.
Martin Abraham was hired about a year and a half ago to be provost, but instead for about the past year and a half, he's been either the acting president or the interim president. Have you talked to him, and do you plan to keep him on board now as provost?
I hope to be able to talk to him soon. Now, I was just appointed. My appointment became formal yesterday, right?
Sure.
So, just less than 24 hours ago. I hope to be able to get in touch with him. He can call me, I can call him to discuss the options. At this point, I'm just a president-elect. But I hope to have opportunity to talk to him about the options about the spring semester.
I think that should do it, unless you want to add anything.
Yeah, that's at this point. That's what I can tell you because I'm so new.
Well, thank you for taking time to speak with me, and I look forward to meeting you in person early next year.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you as well. Have a good day.